From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called Holiness, the Expression of Faith in God's Promises, part of his series of studies in the book of Joshua. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Christ, who is our life. Paul's marvelously rich expression indicates that Christ is the source of our life. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The same voice which brought Lazarus out of the tomb raised us to newness of life. He is now the substance of our spiritual life. It is by his life that we live. He is in us, the hope of glory, the spring of our actions, the central thought which moves every other thought. Christ is the sustenance of our life. What can the Christian feed upon but Jesus' flesh and blood? This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. O wayworn pilgrims in this wilderness of sin, you never get a morsel to satisfy the hunger of your spirits except you find it in Him. Christ is the solace of our life. All our true joys come from Him. And in times of trouble, His presence is our consolation. There is nothing worth living for but Him, and His loving kindness is better than life. Christ is the object of our life. As speeds the ship towards the port, so hastes the believer towards the haven of his Savior's bosom. As flies the arrow to its goal, so flies the Christian towards the perfecting of his fellowship with Christ Jesus. As the soldier fights for his captain and is crowned in his captain's victory, so the believer contends for Christ and gets his triumph out of the triumphs of his master. For him to live is Christ. Christ is the exemplar of our life. Where there is the same life within, there will, there must be, to a great extent, the same developments without. And if we live in near fellowship with the Lord Jesus, we shall grow like Him. We shall set Him before us as our divine copy, and we shall seek to tread in His footsteps until He shall become the crown of our life in glory. Oh, how safe, how honored, how happy is the Christian, since Christ is our life.
Set my heart, O dear Father, on Thee and Thee only. Give me a thirst for Thy presence divine. Lord, keep my focus on loving Thee wholly. Purge me from earth, turn my heart after Thee. Give thou service. Let love for Christ every motive inspire. Teach me to follow in selfless submission. Be thou my joy and my soul's one
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. In Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5, just prior to the crossing of the Jordan River, Joshua commanded the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." In this message, Dr. Cairns is reminding believers of God's call to personal holiness of life, a subject which receives all too little emphasis in this day. Indeed, the Bible makes it clear that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. For the children of Israel standing on the border of Canaan, the call to holiness was in preparation for and in anticipation of the moving and blessing of God. That is still true. The first thing Dr. Cairns stressed about this command is that it was given to God's people, not to sinners. It is the redeemed of the Lord who are called unto holiness of life. Failure to do so results in the forfeiture of God's blessing. Now to continue this message, holiness, the expression of faith in God's promises. Here is Dr. Cairns.
Our text is addressed to those who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And while it is true that sinners do not need to sanctify themselves in order to come to Christ for salvation, it is equally true that those who are saved and are redeemed must sanctify themselves to draw near to their God in communion or to expect to be used of Him in service. You see, saved people must be holy people. Saved people can never be indifferent to sin. Saved people cannot tolerate that which they know drives away the presence of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, and the blessing of the Lord. These people who are saved are heirs of the promises of grace. As saved people, God is saying, "I have done wonders for you. I'm going to do wonders for you. Before you stretch his life in communion with Christ and eternity in the presence of your Savior, in joy unspeakable and full of glory." They are heirs of the promises of grace. But equally, the heirs of the promises of grace know that sin debars them from enjoying that promise. That's why before we go to heaven, or as we enter, we are perfectly purged forever from every experience of sin. Glorification is entire perfection, so that we may perfectly enjoy heaven. For sin would even mar the enjoyment of heaven. How much more here on earth? We ought to understand this. Sin bars our way to the enjoyment of the promised blessing that we should be having down here. Now, I emphasize, we're saved by grace. We're kept by power. We're justified freely. We'll be accepted in glory by the righteousness of Christ imputed. But on our way to heaven, our experience of God will be no greater than our holiness. Our joy in God will be no greater than our holiness. Our usefulness in service will be no greater than our holiness. Sin debars us from enjoying the promised blessing of God. Isaiah 59 puts it very simply in the opening verses. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear." So we can forget about all the excuses about the day in which we live. It's a hard day. Sure, it's a hard day. Could you tell me any day in the history of the world that hasn't been a hard day? Sure, people are depraved and wicked. Can you tell me in a day since the fall of man that the heart of man has not been dead in sin, totally depraved, and an enemy of God? I understand that we're living in the last days, and I understand that God is reaching the place where, in the words of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, He's giving men up to this awful delusion, that they might believe a lie, that they might be damned. Those people who rejected the truth and the Christ for the Antichrist. I know that is happening. But still the Lord's hand isn't shortened that it cannot see. I keep repeating one simple fact, that whatever your eschatology, when you go to the 7th chapter of the book of the Revelation, in the period of the great tribulation, when the personal Antichrist is stalking the earth, when he has subdued kingdoms unto himself, when religious and political anti-Christianity have amalgamated in a furious hatred against the cause of Jesus Christ, when persecution is at an all-time high, when such a time of trouble hits the people of God as has never been seen in all of history. Now, a darker day you can't imagine. And yet, in that period of time, God said, He will save, He will redeem out of all nations, kindreds, tongues and people, an innumerable company. Now let's understand that. If that is true of the day of the greatest satanic fury in the history of the world, can we not grasp what the prophet Isaiah is saying and apply it to our day? The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Why then is the church of Christ so impotent? Why then is our own service so useless? Why are our efforts so weak? Why is all our gospel sowing blessed with so little gospel reaping? And the answer is, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you. It comes back to that oft-quoted saying of the psalmist David, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The Lord laments over this in His Word. There's a powerful portion in the 81st Psalm, commencing at verse 13, where the Lord is lamenting over His people, even as Christ lamented over Jerusalem. He is weeping for the impotence of His people. He's lamenting the deadness and the barrenness and the defeat of His people. And He's saying, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, that Israel had walked in my ways. And here's what He says, I should have soon subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should soon have submitted themselves unto Him. But their time, Israel's time, should have endured forever. He should have fed them with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? I wonder this morning, am I speaking to a Christian who in reading those words sees his own life? Am I speaking to a Christian born again of the Spirit of God, forever spoiled for the world? You cannot go the way you used to go, and yet you're not enjoying Christ. You're not living in the fullness of the blessing. You're in a sort of a dark no man's land. You're not of the world, but yet you're not enjoying Christ. Does this text not speak to you? The Lord is looking down. Oh, that my people had hearkened. Oh, that you would listen. Oh, that you would see that it's not unwillingness on the Lord's part, that keeps you out of blessing. There is no necessity for you to be in that awful situation in which you are now repining. No, no. He said, I want to feed you with the finest of the wheat. I want to satisfy you with honey out of the rock. I want to bring sweetness into your life. I want to bring strength into your life. I want to lead you to victory over those enemies, those inward lusts, those outward foes, those temptations, the worldly forces that so defeat you now. I want to lead you into victory over those things. Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify yourselves. This is a command to God's people. And as is now clear, by this command, the Lord calls His people to what the old-time preachers used to call a comprehensive holiness. A comprehensive holiness. Not part-time holiness. Not a holiness that seeks to strike a deal with God and says, well, I don't do what I used to do. I'm not doing what I ought to do, but I'm not doing what I used to do. I've come part of the way. Is that not good enough? No. Sanctify yourselves means comprehensive holiness. In Exodus 19:10, the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. And let them wash their clothes. Sanctify yourselves. Wash the garments that have been stained by sin. Sanctify yourselves. Take the defilement that you have contracted in the world and get it under the blood. Sanctify yourselves by washing your garments. In Joshua 7, he told Joshua in verse 13, up, sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take the accursed thing from among you. What does sanctify yourselves mean, therefore? It means not only to wash your garments from visible and known stains and defilements, but it means to search out and to judge the hidden sin. Sanctify yourselves means that you come into the very presence of God. You lay bare your heart to the all-seeing eye of your God. You say, Lord, I'm no longer willing merely to pass for a holy man in the sight of others. I'm not satisfied anymore merely to have the outward appearance of cleanness with clean garments as far as people can see. But Lord, I want the inmost depths of my heart to be purged from the accursed thing. How many Achans are there among the people of God? How many of us take that accursed thing and hide it deep within our hearts? That's a sin to which human nature is peculiarly prone. You'll find in the days of Ezekiel, when great apostasy had swept over Israel, but they didn't want to believe that the judgment of God and the chastening hand of God was upon the nation. They were going through all the ritual of temple worship. They were carrying on as usual. And they were telling themselves, those who have been taken captive are coming back. We're coming into a day of glory. God is going to bless us. God is going to build us. Jeremiah said it's a lie. Get ready for a great captivity and a great judgment from God. Ezekiel wrote, from Babylon, from among the captives, to confirm the message. They didn't want to hear it. Now, if you had gone to Jerusalem, what would you have seen? You'd have seen the priests decked out in all their regalia. You'd have seen the lambs being slaughtered, the blood being shed, the prayers being offered, the Bible being read, the Psalms being sung. God took Ezekiel and he led him into the secret chambers of imagery, and he showed him deep within the people and deep within the temple there was an accursed thing. Oh, we're so prone to that. Sanctify yourselves. Judge the hidden sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.